And I should add that I live in my adopted France, so I'm sorry to say, but I support Les Bleus. Actually, I don't care for soccer at all. I have no idea what's going on. But if the French team wins, I'm sure to find out about it because I live rather close to Place de la Bastille. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me at this meeting. I think it is very exciting to talk in a meeting of consumer organizations, or predominantly consumer organizations, because I think you have a very important role to play, and I was very pleased to see the draft Paris Accords, which I'm sure are going to be I have the potential to be an important document, and that there is a section on health R&D, because today we are confronted with the sort of the current drug development paradigm, with the exceptions of initiatives such as the one you just heard about by Nicoletta Dentico, is dominated by the belief that the global incentive system needs to be based on pharmaceutical patenting. Patents are the driving force. Without them, we will not have innovation. And that the IP system is the engine for innovation has almost become a religion. Someone earlier this morning asked for data and facts, and I think this is an area where we need a lot more evidence, and actually where the evidence increasingly shows that perhaps the patent system is not delivering as much as we're made to believe. In a recent paper by two people from DG Research from the European Commission, this is a paper on the development of new vaccines for what they call poverty-related diseases. They asserted the point that weak IP protection in many parts of the developing world may further discourage private enterprises from focusing on poverty-related diseases. And then I think that's a very peculiar statement, because in view of the fact that IP protection for pharmaceuticals, including for vaccines, has never been this widespread, there's never been this extensive, and the levels have never been this high in history around the globe. Still, you hear these statements. It's also a statement that denies history and historical facts. If you, particularly in the vaccines development, some of the most important vaccines that we still use today, were developed without current IP systems in place, and researchers even would talk about how this had nothing to do with what they were doing. Remember Salk, the inventor of the polio vaccine, who said when he was asked was he going to patent his invention, he said that would be like patenting the sun. He saw the results of his work as a global public good, and found the idea to appropriate that unimaginable. And that vaccine fairly close to polio eradication as a result of that. So those who actually look at the evidence of the sister, rather than the propaganda, reach indeed other conclusions. And the two previous speakers have already mentioned the WHO Commission on Intellectual Property, Innovation, and Public Health. And I think that is a very, very important report. That was an independent commission that worked for about 3 years. It was set up by the World Health Assembly, the gathering of health ministers of all the members of the WHO. And one of the conclusions of this report, there are many conclusions and many recommendations that really merit follow-up, but a very clear conclusion is that there's no evidence that the implementation of the TRIPS agreement, in particular, in developing countries will significantly boost research and development in pharmaceuticals for type 2 and type 3 diseases, and those are the diseases that are most predominant in the developing world. As Nicoletta already pointed out, we're faced with a crisis, particularly with regard to the development of new drugs for diseases that are predominant in the developing world, particularly tropical, sort of classic tropical and parasitic diseases, where R&D has basically come to a standstill. Out of the 1,550 new chemical entities that have come to the market between 1975 and 2004, 20, that is a bit more than 1%, were actually for these diseases, and that 1% ratio has been the same over that period of time. Developments in IP law and implementation have not affected that at all. But you see that across the board. This is not just a problem for tropical diseases or for diseases that predominantly affect people in the developing country. We're actually faced today with a global crisis in health research and development. And I think it is important to look at those problems against that background. The French journal La Revue Prescrire, for example, published a survey. They do the assessment of the new drugs that enter the French market from a therapeutic point of view. And they concluded that 68% of the over 3,000 new products that were approved in France between 81 and 2004 brought nothing new to treatments that were previously available. So in terms of therapeutic gain, there is a crisis. This is not just a French phenomenon in this increasingly globalized area. The British Medical Journal published a study rating barely 5% of all new drugs in Canada as a breakthrough. 5% that isn't a great deal. And the breakdown of over 1,000 new drugs approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration between 89 and 2000 revealed that over three-quarters, very similar to the Prescrire figures, have no therapeutic benefits over existing products. So we're in a rather odd situation where the expenditure on R&D is increasing. The level of intellectual property protection and pharmaceutical patenting has increased, but in fact the R&D outcome is dramatically declined. And if I had not obeyed the organizer's instructions to not use PowerPoint, I would have put that in a graph and you would have seen the expenditure going up and the innovation going down. But that's the that is the situation. The what we also see increasingly is that pharmaceutical patenting, and it's not only in the pharmaceutical area. I should add, we also see the same phenomena in the development of diagnostic tools, for example, where patents hamper follow-on innovation. A classic example is the development of the fixed dose combination in AIDS treatment, where a treatment always has to be with combined products, but only in countries where patents don't stand in the way can these products be developed as a fixed dose combination. Fixed dose combination is absolutely crucial. The development of pediatric formulations